Tonight on the Worldview Weekend Hour, White House Reds. In studio is my guest, Trevor Loudon, and he is the author of this brand new book. Did you know that the Democrat Party has been clearly taken over by Marxist, neo-Marxist, and communist groups? You think that's conspiracy theory or hyperbole? Then you don't know the facts. Trevor Loudon has the facts for us. America is at a crossroads and on the verge of a literal neo-Marxist revolution. This may be our last chance to secure freedom. The Worldview Weekend Hour begins right now.
WVW-TV presents the Worldview Weekend Hour with Brannon House. Whether the topic is law, science, government, economics, history, family, social issues, education, or theology, Brannon brings the issues of today into clear focus through the lens of a biblical worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
Welcome, my friends, to the broadcast. Glad you're with us. Trevor Loudon is my guest, and as I said there in the introduction, he's the author of a brand new book, White House Reds. Trevor, welcome back to our studio. Thanks for being with us.
It's always great to be on, Brannon. Thanks for having me.
When did this come out?
Today.
Today.
March 1st.
Really? So yep. I have the first copy.
You do. You actually do.
Really do?
Yeah, you do.
You're not just saying that?
No, I'm not saying that.
Wow, and he's even signed it to me, so yep. Thank you so much. Well, I hope folks will get a copy. Where can they get a copy?
Well, you can go to Amazon, just look up White House Reds, Trevor Loudon, or you can go to my daily blog, trevorloudon.com, and order it from me online. If you do that, you can actually get an autographed copy too. So,
well, and I highly recommend that.
That's an extra incentive.
Absolutely, I think it is. I like to have books personalized. Subtitled, Communist, Socialist, and Security Risks, Running for U.S. President in 2020. Now, you may be watching this far into the future and you say, oh, this is old news, don't need to watch this. Wrong, because we're going to talk about a lot of organizations many of you have never heard of. Some of you may have heard of them, but you don't know a lot about them. And these organizations will continue to function regardless of who becomes president in November, or is president-elect come November 2020, sworn in January 2021. Regardless, the information we will cover in this broadcast will still be relevant 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, because these organizations will still be on the ground working toward their revolution or maintaining a revolution, depending on where we're at. Is that an accurate statement?
That's exactly right. We're dealing with an infrastructure that's been in place for over 50 years now. It's not going to go away depending on one presidential election. As you say, Brannon, that the role may change to continue to foment revolution or consolidating revolution, depending, but they will not go away unless they are exposed and actually taken down by federal action.
Let's talk about some organizations before we get into the people. We're going to talk about Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden, and we're going to talk about, well, many of the candidates running for president in 2020, Tulsi Gabbard and others. And again, these people may not become president, they may, or they may be in an administration, depending on who wins, or they just may continue to be congressmen and U.S. senators or governors, depending on what they run for, or they could be in a cabinet. So again, these are people that are likely to be on the political scene for a long time.
Look, that these people are all prominent, they're not going away, and they're all having a malign influence in this country right now, and expect that to continue. So it's good for people to know who these folks are.
All right, let's talk about one of these organizations that some of you have heard about, others have not. But I guarantee you we're going to talk about some organizations you've never heard of, but we all should have been aware of them. But thanks to Trevor Loudon and his new book, we are now. But one of them that you may have heard of, maybe not, Democratic Socialists of America. Most of these folks running for the White House, and many of them in Congress and the U.S. Senate, let me say that again, many of them in the United States Congress, who are on committees where they get national security clearances and briefings. Many in the U.S. House of Representatives and the Senate are connected to Democratic Socialists of America, which in itself is a massive national security breach.
Absolutely. The Democratic Socialists of America was set up in the 80s out of some communist groups and so-called socialist groups, and it was really designed to replace the Communist Party USA, because the Communist Party was, you know, the name, that's a bad name. You know, politicians won't associate openly with the Communist Party, but they will absolutely associate with Democratic Socialists of America because it sounds softer. You know, democratic, it's socialist, it's sort of like Germany or, you know, Sweden or whatever. But DSA, and that's what I'll call it, is a hardcore Marxist organization. It actually works in partnership with the Communist Party. They have a formal alliance. They have a lot of cross-membership. And in many, many areas, DSA is actually more left-wing than the Communist Party. Well, now it's got 60,000 members in this country. Mm. It's got at least 200 locals in states all over the Union. And it has infiltrated the Democratic Party at every level, from local committees in many parts of the country. DSA now is the Democratic Party. It is the dominant force. And it's gone right up. It's got people in county commissions and local state representatives. It's got people in Congress. It's got friends in the Senate. And at least seven Democratic presidential contenders come out of DSA. And that is Bernie Sanders, obviously, Elizabeth Warren, obviously, but also Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, Deval Patrick, and Tulsi Gabbard. All of them come out of the same Marxist organization. And some of them play the moderate game, and some of them play the progressive game, and some of them play the socialist game. But they're all out of the same socialist organization.
Tell me, when did it start, DSA? Who started it?
It started by a guy called Michael Harrington in the 80s. Now, Michael Harrington wrote a book called The Other America back in the 60s. And that was used by President Johnson to justify his great society, the massive expansion of the welfare society that destroyed the black communities of America and many of the white communities as well. That was done by the Marxist Michael Harrington. Well, he established Democratic Socialists of America in 1982. Its aim was to infiltrate the left wing of the Democratic Party. It sort of was very successful under Carter. It was very close to Ted Kennedy, for instance. It made a lot of progress in the early 80s. But then it faded away a little bit. But when Bernie Sanders started running, it went from about 6,000 members to now 60,000 members. Mm. And it has Ocasio-Cortez as a member, Rashida Tlaib as a member, Ilhan Omar is very close, Jan Schakowsky of Illinois has been a member, Danny Davis of Illinois, John Conyers, who's now no longer in Congress, was a member. And also a man called Jerry Nadler, the head of the Judiciary Committee, the man who led the impeachment of President Trump, has been a member or was a member of Democratic Socialists of America for more than 25 years and may still be, but he is a Marxist. So these are Marxists operating within the Democratic Party. These are the people who gave you Obamacare. These are the people who gave you illegal immigration amnesty. All of the most of the left-wing programs that the Democrats implement came out of Democratic Socialists of America, a communist group, openly communist to its members, to the public. It's, we're all about Sweden, we're all about Norway, we're all about Germany, but their members are working with the communists of France and Spain and Brazil and even Die Linke. See, members of Democratic Socialists of America right now are being trained by a group called the Rosa Luxemburg Foundation out of New York, which is owned by the Rosa Luxemburg Foundation of Germany, which is funded by the German taxpayer, but run by Die Linke, the left, the fifth largest German political party. A few years ago, this Die Linke used to be known as the East German Communist Party. Mm. The people who had the Berlin Wall, the people who used to shoot people trying to jump across it. Mm. They are now training Bernie Sanders people right now. So this is how, you know, Bernie Sanders is running a communist movement. But absolutely communist.
But everyone thinks communism died. Trevor, the Berlin Wall came down, communism died. But you and I know that's not true. And in my documentary, Siege, I reveal with many experts, former FBI, CIA, DHS, sadly, the late Phil Haney, our friend Phil, who died a week ago this past Friday. He is featured heavily in this documentary. As you know, he's featured in my documentary, Sabotage, that you can get at sabotagethemovie.com and watch an hour for free. But in our latest one that came out in December of 2019, this 8.5-hour documentary, Trevor Loudon is heavily featured in this, along with Phil Haney and others, including other folks like Jeffrey Nyquist and just many, even John Wayne, and clips of John Wayne and former multi-star members of the military telling us how the communists have helped, their brethren around the world take down Europe and Asia and surround America. As Lenin said before he died, I think he died in 1924, correct? And before he died, he said that we would take, Eastern Europe, we will take Asia, we will surround America, and we will collapse it from within. And he said that in 1924. It is now happening. The Berlin Wall collapse was a fraud. It was predicted by former KGB who wrote about it, Galutsin. He wrote about it, and everything he predicted in advance came true. And you need to understand, he wrote this years in advance. He said they would do this. Yes, they were under economic hard times. They were in bad trouble politically and economically. They faked the collapse, got our eyes off of paying attention to them. Our massive money went in there. Both private money and government money went in there, propped them up, gave them technology, supposedly to use for like commercial airlines and other things that turned to be used for military. And while we were not paying attention to them, well, they were rebuilding. And while we were distracted fighting the war on terror, much of it was being funded through the Kremlin, as documented in Siege, the movie. While we were fighting the war on terror and losing both our physical treasure of our soldiers and our national treasure out of our treasury, they were rebuilding. We were being bled by our war fighters and bled financially. They were rebuilding, cheating on every treaty we've ever done. They've gone from hypersonic to supersonic weapons that folks with multiple stars on their shoulder tell Congress, as revealed in this documentary, we have no answer for yet. So again, communism has not collapsed. And what you're telling me is the people that were behind the Berlin Wall and the communism of East Germany are now major political powers in Germany, funding and training Bernie Sanders and his team here in America.
Yep, right now.
Is anything I said in just the last few minutes incorrect?
No, it's all correct. And I'll just say, if you talk about communism, you really need to look at the fall of communism as more a strategic retreat.
Yes, absolutely.
And they retreated and we let down our guard.
Now, so we were fooled.
You know, now they are ahead of us economically. They were militarily by a long shot. They are working with China. You know, Vladimir Putin in 2017 in October celebrated the 100th anniversary of the Bolshevik Revolution at a big youth festival in Sochi, Russia.
Yep.
There were 50,000 young communists from all over the world there. Vladimir Putin arranged for the venue and he keynoted the conference and told these kids, including many from America, that the future was theirs.
You know, the footage is in Sabotage. Everything he's saying is true. The footage of him speaking to them is in Sabotage.
But see, even if you did accept that communism genuinely collapsed, and a lot of our people still think that's the case, well, you cannot deny its comeback.
Right.
So look, say if you had...
But there's no way Galutsin, the former KGB guy, could have predicted all the things he predicted in advance, and they've come true, if he wasn't in on the meetings that talked about, hey, if this is what happens, here's how we'll respond with this fake collapse.
Look, he wrote in his book, New Lies for Old, published in 1984, he predicted Gorbachev, he predicted the fall of the Berlin Wall. Nobody had heard of Gorbachev then. I had a friend who trained in Moscow in 1983. He was a New Zealander who had infiltrated the New Zealand Communist Party for our security services. He trained in Moscow with 6,000 genuine communists. They were telling them then, we're going to have a massive opening to the West. We're going to give up the word communism, the word. We're going to get massive Western investment. The West will let down its guard. And when we are strong enough, we will strike.
And Lenin predicted this. And he said that the Westerners would rush to the table to be our friends.
That's exactly right. And you look at it, you know, say the Soviet Union was a cancer on the world. And that's what it was. Well, say you cut 90% of a cancer out of your body. You leave 10% of it in. And then you stop all treatment for 30 years. What's going to happen? Well, now people say there was no communism in America. Well, what is Black Lives Matter? Mm. That's completely communist group. The Women's March, completely controlled by communists, but they got 1 million women in Washington to protest Trump. The anti-Trump protest movement is completely communist controlled. The AFL-CIO is communist controlled. Most of your universities are run by Marxists. Many of your churches are infiltrated by Marxists.
And your church denominations.
Your church denominations. And you have a Marxist Pope now in Pope Francis. You have a Marxist Democratic Party. There's 100 members of the US House right now and 25 US senators who couldn't pass a background check to drive a school bus.
You state that. You said there are zero background checks for congressmen. This is coming from his new book, White House Reds. You can order it on Amazon or his website. We'll be putting up his website underneath his name throughout the broadcast. You write on page, the introduction, you write, there are zero background checks for Congress members or U.S. senators or most of their staff. Are the Russians, Cubans, Chinese, Iranians, and North Koreans aware of this fact? Would they possibly try to exploit this glaring national security weakness? Surely not. What is the better option for an enemy nation trying to influence or destroy America? Getting into a multi-billion dollar trade war or a multi-trillion shooting war with uncertain outcome? Or spend a few $100 million supporting American communist and socialist in their efforts to win elections and infiltrate their supporters into Congress, the Senate, or even the White House? What would you do in their place?
It's a no-brainer. There's no background checks. The media's on their side, so there's no scrutiny. In my book, White House Reds, I say I profile 10 of these presidential contenders. All of them are Marxists. Of the 23 that originally stood, at least 13 were identifiable Marxists, including all of the front runners now, with the possible exception of Bloomberg. And he has got all sorts of problems in his own right. You know, he thinks communist China is a country to emulate. But what I'm getting at here is, you know, Donald Trump Jr. said in May on Fox and Friends, the 2020 election would be communism versus freedom. And he was 100% right, because we are, the Democratic Party has been so infiltrated now, they need one more election, and they would basically have us. And if America goes socialist or communist, you name one other country in the world that's going to stand against it. You know what, Iceland's going to stand up, is it? Or maybe Chile, or, you know, Argentina, or, you know, who's going to lead the charge for freedom? No one will. So we are heading, if we blow this chance we've been given, we're going to be heading for 1,000 years of darkness.
And people might notice his beautiful accent. You're from New Zealand.
I am from New Zealand. People say, well, that's a safe country. Why don't you go and live in New Zealand and you can ride out the storm? Look, the Chinese already have New Zealand. The Chinese tell us what to do now. That's with America in the world. What would, if there was no America, the Chinese would have us in a heartbeat. Mm. You know, look, if there was somewhere to run, I'm a coward. I'd be there.
You write, the party of Harry Truman and JFK is no longer. I mean, JFK was anti-communist in some regard, was he not?
Yeah, he was. He would probably be a Republican now, or at least it would probably be even a Tea Party guy. Harry Truman would be a Tea Party guy. If he was around today, do you think Harry Truman would have been on board with transgender bathrooms? Can you imagine that?
No.
JFK would have been all about transgenderism, or, you know, you know, open borders. Do you think any of those old-fashioned Democrats would have been okay with open borders or soft on crime policies? They had their. I would have disagreed with them on certain points, but they were Americans and they were patriots. Well, you cannot say the same thing for today's Democrats. President Trump's
They hate America.
President Trump's State of the Union. You know, black unemployment's down, Latino unemployment's down, and they just scowl.
Yeah.
Not a, yeah, right on. You know, that's great to see. America's doing good. None of that. The Democrats only do well when we're doing badly. When we're doing well, when the economy's going fine, when racial tensions are easing, when people are getting jobs and making progress, they're in trouble. They hate it. They only thrive on division and poverty. And when people are unhappy, the Democrats do well. That's why even the coronavirus, they're trying to just pump that up. The worse it gets, the happier they'll be.
Absolutely. And if it turns into nothing, I've told my TV and radio audience,
they'll be so disappointed.
They will be disappointed. And if it turns into nothing, they can still make it something by creating a crisis and creating an issue with consumer confidence and the stock market to destroy the Trump economy. So they could take a non-crisis and turn it into a crisis. And I'm not saying the coronavirus isn't going to be a problem. Yeah. We don't know yet. But I'm saying let's assume that it turns out to be nothing. They will exploit whatever they can to turn into a crisis when particularly this economy is largely based on the flowing of money and credit and liquidity and consumer confidence.
And confidence, yeah. They want to destroy the confidence. Look, you know, why did Satan leave heaven? Because he'd rather rule in hell than serve in heaven. They don't care what kind of hell America becomes as long as they are running it.
Mm-hmm.
That's their only goal.
And you state that the purpose of this book, and by the way, he sent me a PDF. So I printed out a PDF and marked it up, and then he brought me the physical copy today, which I'm so glad to have. The first copy, it came out today, March 1st, White House Reds by Trevor Loudon. This is your first interview on this book.
It is.
Wow, thank you. What an honor.
You're right there. Well, the first interview with a physical copy. People have done preview interviews, but not a real interview like this.
Communist, socialist, and security risks running for U.S. president 2020. Okay, in your book, in preview, you say, the point of this book is to show American voters how deeply their politics have been infiltrated by communist, socialist, and security risks. The aim is to lay out very clearly the socialist alliances and allegiances of the majority of the Democrat Party leadership. This should be a national scandal, and it would be if America's media was not also deeply penetrated by the hard left. You know, we've talked a lot here about the Frankfurt School and cultural Marxism. We did our first 1 hour on the Frankfurt School, the cultural Marxist Frankfurt School that was started in about 1923 in Germany with a bunch of communists, and a bunch of them came over here to America around 1933 with the help of John Dewey. And one of his friends in the media, a young guy by the name of Edward R. Murrow, helped out, right? And they just said they're going to target education and media. We did our first hour on this at our Worldview Weekend Conference in Minneapolis, St. Paul, November 1997. We've been talking about the Frankfurt School and cultural Marxism since November 1997. You know how many people have mocked us for conspiracy theories and, oh, he thinks communism and Marxism is an issue? And yet the things that we have predicted, I wrote in my book in 1995, Reclaiming a Nation at Risk, that America would go toward corporate fascism. I said that Americans would have to worry about social credit scores, or what I described as a dangen, a file kept on Chinese, and their file follows them through life and their education, and their hiring, firing, and job promotions ability to travel is based on review of an applicant's dangen. And I said in that book in 1995, my second book, in 1995, that kind of thing was coming to America. These things are all now happening, and yet the things that we said for a long time were major national security threats, we were mocked. But the media has largely been the ones that have fueled the idea that we're crazy and conspiracy theorists and tinfoil hat people for saying these things, trying to warn Americans for, well, now a few decades.
Look, you know, this country is a massive left-wing terrorism problem through Antifa, a massive Muslim Brotherhood infiltration right into the top levels of the federal government. You've got many terrorists who've come over the southern border hiding amongst us. And all the media focuses on is about the six neo-Nazis running around the country. You know, the big danger is white supremacy. White supremacy is nothing. You know, there are a few crazies who believe that kind of stuff. Yeah, there are a few. But there are a factor of 100 more who are actively involved in the left or Islam and Mohammedanism, and that doesn't get focused on at all. The media in this country is completely in the tank for the left. You know, like in the old days, you know, you were a journalist, so you got a job, worked for a local paper, you did a cadetship, you went out and covered the county fairs, your baseball games, you were a normal American with normal American values. After World War II, they started to train all the journalists in journalism schools. And they were indoctrinated through a book called Advocacy Journalism, written by a Communist Party supporter named Curtis McDougall, who invented a new way of reporting. You are not supposed to report the facts, you are supposed to report the facts that shaped history in the correct direction. So now 85% of American journalists identify as liberals. Many of them are in fact socialists or Marxists. And the few conservatives or patriots or even objective journalists that we have out there are either intimidated by the others or they're denied the jobs and the platforms they need to tell the truth. And if it wasn't for independent media like yourself, Brannon, we would be flying blind in this country.
And that's when they're not trying to shadow ban us, block us, kick us off.
Yeah, kick us off Twitter, kick us off Facebook.
Send gunmen from Saudi Arabia with a Quran into our conference in April 2017.
Yeah.
Shut us, 4 out of 5 cities shut them down of our conferences in, with Antifa and his Muslim Brotherhood groups. I mean, every time we turn around, we're just fighting to survive.
Yeah. Look, do we go out there trying to shut down left-wing conferences?
No, in fact, we attend some of them in Montreal.
Yeah, I was there when I did my movie Enemies Within. I went to a big Marxist convention in Chicago, 3,000 people there, all Bernie Sanders supporters, and they were completely unmolested. There was no protesters outside. There was no bomb threats. There was no, nobody phoned the venue to try and get these people shut down or threaten the venue. But they do that to us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you want to shut down somebody's beliefs? Is it because, okay, they contradict yours, fair enough, but shouldn't this be a free marketplace of ideas? No, they know the only way they can win is by shutting us out of the ideas marketplace, shutting down our voice. And they are doing that through Google, through Amazon, through Facebook. All of the we're being deplatformed on all of those things, and they're actually physically coming after our venues, you know, threatening hotels that host us, rioting, whatever, to shut down our voice. We are on the verge of losing the voice of freedom in this country.
We used to be able to go to churches, Trevor. We've held Worldview Weekend rallies in over 300 cities. When we first started, churches used to invite us in. Then the churches got where they were being, the people were getting angry that we were being invited to speak because we were dared to talk about the issues of the day and name some names, try to warn people. Now some of the people we were warning about and movements we were warning about, some of the people that didn't want us there now actually agree with us. But they were too ignorant to realize, so they opposed us. So some of the people that used to oppose us actually now support us. But they, at one time, were the ones trying to stop us from even coming to their churches. Some of them actually agree with us now. Others hate us even more than they did then. So we got where we couldn't even get into churches. At one time, they invited us in. Then when it became politically incorrect to talk about some of these things, the churches wouldn't have us. So we went to the ballrooms. We went to the hotel ballrooms for years. What did they start doing then? Showing up, gunmen from Saudi Arabia with a Quran, Antifa in 2018 and Muslim Brotherhood, put that into a search engine, you find it all over the place, made international news. One of the guys filmed this video, I mean, of him with his guns, threatening us in the parking lot before once he was removed. That's all in sabotage. You put all that in a search engine, the hotels find it. We tried to book a few hotels. They said, fine, you can come. Here's the date we want. They said, here's the price. We said, fine. We agreed to the price. They sent us a contract. Before we could even sign the contract and send it back, they would email us back and say, after talking to our management, this is not a good fit. What'd they do? They went online and saw what has happened to us in other cities, and they're afraid to have us. So we went from being able to go to churches. Now we can barely get into any churches other than the ones that are really small. Well, the really small ones can't hold the crowds we bring out. Then we went to hotel ballrooms. Then we were banned from the hotel ballrooms other than a few cities that we can go to, like our Ozarks conference, which is kind of away from St. Louis, away from Kansas City. But you go to a major city, many of these hotels are afraid of us and have openly told us, sure, you can have the venue here, you can rent our venue, here's the price, here's a contract. Before we can get it signed and sent back, they call us and say, oh, upon further consideration, management says this is not a good fit. Because they've read what has happened at our events. This is how they shut us down.
Yeah, it is. And they will directly phone hotels and threaten them.
And that's what happened in April 2018.
So I think the message is here is that, yeah, we've got a president in the White House now who's got our back, but we've got a lot of work to do. He's not going to be there forever. He may only be there for another 10 months. And we have to understand that we are in a pre-revolutionary situation in America.
And let's say we're watching this and he did win the second term. What are we going to do after that? So the same philosophies, ideas, and groups are relevant whether Trump gets reelected or not. So if you're watching this in the future, these same groups are going to be about doing and trying these things again and again.
This is a 60-year revolution.
Exactly.
They've been at this, really for 100 years in America, trying to take this place down. I'm talking about the communists. Right since the early days of the Bolshevik Revolution, even before, they were trying to take America down. They made a lot of progress in the 60s. They made a lot of progress in the Vietnam War era. They got clawed back a little bit under Reagan, but under Obama, they went into overdrive. And because Obama came along after the fall of the Berlin Wall, our guard against communism was down. Obama never could have got elected in the Cold War. He was such an obvious communist. He had such obvious communist backgrounds. During the Cold War, he wouldn't have been elected to a county commission. But after the fear of communism went away, the first communist president could get elected. Well, maybe the second after Bill Clinton, but you know, the most obvious one. And people still don't realize, 90% of Americans would still have no idea that Obama is, was, and always has been a communist. But what I'm saying in my book is that it ain't just Obama. All of the Democrat leading contenders, from Joe Biden to Bernie Sanders, to Elizabeth Warren, to Pete Buttigieg, to Amy Klobuchar, all of them come from Marxist backgrounds.
You're saying
all
there's not them. One Democrat candidate running that doesn't have a neo-Marxist, communist, DSA background?
Only one is Bloomberg. The only one who may not, he's more of an old-fashioned autocrat, big government guy who likes China. But he doesn't have a Marxist background per se, but all of the rest do. All of them.
And you talk about taking down America. One way they can take down America, as we were warning in our documentary, Sabotage, is with the illegal immigration. You say, according to Massachusetts Institute of Technology researchers, we have 22 million illegal immigrants here that they're trying to get citizenship for?
Yeah, illegal aliens, yeah.
And you say the Republicans have already lost once reliably red Colorado and Virginia, largely through an influx of illegal and legal immigrant voters. If the Democrats could institute a widespread illegal alien amnesty, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, and even Texas will soon fall to the left.
Look, and that's what I say, you know. People say, well, if we vote for Bernie Sanders and we don't like him, we can vote him out in four more years' time. You need to understand you can vote yourself into socialism, but you have to shoot your way out. Once they have power, they will not give it up. And they will have 22 million new voters to make sure that you can never elect them out of office. If you know, like Texas is on the cusp of going, North Carolina is on the cusp, so is Georgia and so is Florida. And they've already taken Colorado and Virginia. You know, Virginia was flipped in the last election cycle by a pro-Chinese communist group called Liberation Road, who worked with the Democrats to sign up 300,000 new immigrant voters and to legalize the votes of 200,000 felons. The same group is now working in Florida. They have just passed a referendum down there last year, legalizing 1.4 million felons. If Florida goes, you can pretty much kiss it goodbye. And they're doing the same kind of things in North Carolina and Georgia, and Tennessee is hugely under the gun as well. Memphis is ground zero for the communists in Tennessee.
Right where I live.
Right where we're sitting now.
Because
what they aim to do is use a very large black population in Memphis who leans Democrat but doesn't vote in high numbers to basically take the whole state down.
So they've got to convince the black voters that are not going to the polls. They've got to convince them to go to the polls.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Because right now they don't go.
They don't go, but if they can get them to the polls, And that's why they will run candidates of color.
Yeah. Stacey Abrams, for those who don't know, ran for governor in Georgia. She is an open Marxist, neo-Marxist, yeah. right? And she lost by less than or right around a little over 50,000 votes. So think about this for a minute. Georgia, the Bible Belt, the South, almost elected, a neo-Marxist. She lost by a little more than 50,000 votes, correct?
Yeah, yeah. And this, her stable...
She's a black yeah. lady. And again, that's why it would be very appealing to many of the progressives. You have your first black female vice president.
Yeah. And look, you can guarantee if a Biden gets the nomination, it will be Kamala Harris. If Bernie gets it, it's probably Stacey Abrams or Tulsi Gabbard. All of them come out of the same group, the same Maoist Marxist group. Obama came out of this group. Andrew Gillum, who almost won the governorship of Florida, came out of this group. Stacey Abrams came out of it. And also Tulsi Gabbard. They all come out of the same little network, as did Kamala Harris, as did Cory Booker, and also Deval Patrick to some degree.
And we're going to talk
same Maoist Marxist cabal gave us all of those candidates. And you can guarantee that one of them will be on the VP ticket with whoever gets the Democrat nomination.
And we're going to get into all these candidates in great details. We've filmed this series of shows. You brought up Andrew Gillum. He ran for governor in Florida. And he's a black guy that was also a neo-Marxist.
Yep.
You state he has a Maoist background in one of your articles. And we warn about him in our documentary Siege with Billy Vaughn. Billy Vaughn, whose son, Aaron Vaughn, was one of the Navy SEALs shot down in Afghanistan, and one of the 16 Navy SEALs shot down, 16 or 17, 30, I think there was 31 Americans on board altogether, and SEAL Team 6. Billy Vaughn, who has sat at this news desk and done TV with us, is featured in Sabotage, and he's featured in Siege. In Siege, he says, and he lives in Florida, he says that this black neo-Marxist gubernatorial candidate Andrew Gillum lost the governor's mansion in Florida in November of 2018 by less than 32,000 votes.
Yeah, it was way less than half of 1%.
That was how close we were to losing Georgia to Stacey Abrams, neo-Marxist,
Florida
to Andrew Gillum, neo-Marxist. And guess who's helping him? Guess who's helping flip Florida and flip Georgia? Southern Baptist, Gospel Coalition guys, all part of what is called the biblical values and social justice, which is really saying biblical values and socialism. That's an oxymoron. But it's called the AND campaign because yep. their motto is biblical values and social justice. It's the AND campaign run by a black attorney that was a delegate for Obama and Hillary, Justin Gaboni, out of Georgia, and run also by Michael Ware, a white guy that was in the White House of faith-based ministries, of faith-based initiatives for Barack Obama, who's been appointed by Obama as his ambassador to believers for 2020. Those two guys are running that out of Georgia, appealing to so-called Christians and evangelicals in the South. Tom Littleton and I did a whole hour on this at this news desk, a whole hour. We were the ones that broke this story on radio and TV about the AND campaign. You'll find it at WVWTV.com, WVWTV.com. Justin Gaboni and Michael Ware are running around with a bunch of the guys from the Gospel Coalition, the Southern Baptist Convention, and these guys as they are working to flip the Southern Baptist Convention through guys like Russell Moore, Al Mohler, Lincoln Duncan. Many of them love Tim Keller. A lot of them are Gospel Coalition people, and they are pushing what I call Marxianity. I wrote this book that came out in November of 2018, Marxianity, that told you they were working to flip the churches and denominations of America, and largely, Trevor, the largest so-called Protestant or evangelical association denomination in America is the Southern Baptist, obviously located largely in the South, and they're using this to flip the South. Virginia and Florida and Tennessee are in the crosshairs.
Absolutely. Look, they understand, the left understand, if they can flip the South, all they have to do is flip, say, Georgia and North Carolina, and pretty much the Democrats rule the country forever from that point. It is that much on a knife edge. If they can flip Florida and Texas, you know, and they almost flipped Texas with when they ran behind Beto O'Rourke. They almost beat Ted Cruz in Texas. 3-point difference.
That's shocking.
Which should have been
a landslide for Cruz.
It should have been a 15-20-point difference. Easy. But this is what I'm saying. They are mobilizing the black and Latino populations of the South to take out the South. You know, the Republicans are all concentrating on the Midwest, Wisconsin and Minnesota, where they'll probably do pretty well. But if they lose Florida, which they might, and Georgia and North Carolina and Arizona, you kiss it goodbye. So, you know, you flip Georgia, you win the election. You flip Florida, you win the election. It is that close. People think this big Trump landslide that's coming. I think Trump can win this, but it's going to be this close. It's going to be absolutely close. And everybody who cares about the fate of America needs to get involved in this election.
How many people are talking about these issues? Andrew Gollum, Stacey Abrams, flipping the South, flipping the evangelical churches, the Ann campaign. Now they've got one coming up in March that we did a whole hour with Tom Littleton on called the Just Gospel 2020, which is a bunch of the social justice gospel coalition guys as well. They're trying to make all these issues of illegal immigration, mandatory minimum incomes, welfare programs. They're all trying to make those gospel issues. Well, they're social gospel issues, which means socialism. But you don't even hear the big talk show hosts talking about these things, do you?
No, you don't. You
know, how many people are exposing what we're exposing?
Not very many. You know, the most of them are just rah-rah for Trump, and I'm all for Trump, you know, absolutely. They're all rah-rah for Trump. We're just going to get the base out. We're just going to, you know, everybody's going to be enthused. We're going to win in a landslide. No, you're not. The left are aiming to mobilize 40 million new voters in the South. It's 40 million people.
Just in the South?
Yeah, well, mainly in the South. There's a group, Liberation Road, the pro-Chinese communist group that flipped Virginia, is trying to flip Florida. They argue, they have a group called the State-Based Power Caucus, which is more than 22 ACORN-type organizations, mainly in the southern states.
ACORN, for those who forget, originally came out of Arkansas.
And then
they changed the name, and it was a community organization that Barack Obama had been involved with.
They signed people up to vote, mm-hmm. and they commit a lot of vote fraud. But they reason that there are 100 million people who didn't vote in the last election. They aim to get 40, mainly in the colored communities, a lot of them in the colored communities. And this is, I hate to use this word colored, but this is their language.
They're using that language.
They talk about it all the time. They have democracy in color. They say color's going to win the election.
If you called someone a colored person in the South, that's considered racist. Yeah, but you're saying they get away with it.
They do, because they're on the left.
I mean, that used to be said. There's a lot of things that used to be said in the South that were acceptable terms to use that the black community didn't mind. And then as times changed, there were terms and definitions or adjectives to describe the black community that they said, no, we don't want to be called this, called this. So it's changing. But one of the things you don't go around doing here is calling someone a colored person.
No, but they do. Because you can do this on if you're on the left.
Sure, you can get away with anything.
Including murdering
black babies and still say you're for the black Americans.
Planned Parenthood, who
Margaret Sanger was bragging, she was speaking to the Women's Auxiliary of the KKK and called black people weeds that need to be eradicated.
Yeah, exactly. And they have the gall to be the champion of the black race, you know. But this is the thing. They reason there was 100 million who didn't vote. Their target is to get 40 million of them to the polls against Trump. And they're targeting the southern states, the Latino populations, and the black populations, mainly in the South. Like, Stacey Abrams has quite a cute little saying. She says, for years, the Democrats have been trying to target the people in the middle. They're trying to flip the middle voter, you know, to go from Republican, you know, the independent voter to go the Democrat way. You know, they spend millions of dollars doing that. Stacey Abrams says, no, it's crazy. This is an analogy she uses. Don't spend all your time trying to turn Protestants into Catholics, Republicans into Democrats. Get the Baptists to go to church. And means get the black Democrats to vote. this is what, this is how they beat Roy Moore in Alabama. They did a big campaign in Alabama when Roy Moore was damaged. They said that if you don't vote for the Democrat, the Klan is coming back. And they beat Roy Moore by 20,000 votes in Alabama, conservative red Alabama.
That's, and of course, they created a bunch of fake stories, which also happened to Kavanaugh. So
yeah, well, they did. But this is how they play the
game.
See,
we
play the game by the rules.
They don't.
They play the game to win.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. You know, look at communist morality. You know, anything is honest, anything's ethical if it furthers the revolution. You can tell any lie you like. If it furthers the revolution, that is a moral act. If you don't lie to further the revolution, you're being immoral by their standards. So, you know, this is how they will lie about Kavanaugh. They'll lie about the president. They'll lie about Roy Moore. They'll lie about anybody.
They lie about us.
Well, of course they do.
And our movement, what we're for, what we're against. They lie. They make it up.
They just make it up, and they have a compliant media who will pump this stuff out. But what I'm really getting at with people is don't be overconfident. Don't think, Trump's in the White House, he's doing good, the economy's right. Well, coronavirus could put a stop to that.
Mm-hmm.
But even if it didn't, you know, it's all good. The Democrats lifted their vote 40% with Andrew Gillum by signing up the black people and Latinos of Fort Lauderdale, of Jacksonville, of Miami, whatever. They signed up those people and they ran what they called a candidate of color and lifted the vote. They did the same thing in Georgia. They did the same thing in Arizona, which how they elected the Communist Party supporter, Kyrsten Sinema, to the U.S. Senate.
And where's she from?
She's from Arizona. She's now in the U.S. Senate. A bona fide Communist Party supporter.
And you approve all this?
Absolutely. She signed their May Day petitions 2 years in a row back in 2002,
and this is all documented in your book. I mean, this thing is...
Not, that's in my other book, but I can
But you
prove.
Have that kind of documentation in this book. I was shocked at all the quotes, and you're quoting right off the DSA... Democratic Socialists of America website. You're quoting right from their own proclamations and website.
Yeah, look, they lay it all out there.
They do. That's why people say it's a conspiracy,
goes and, look,
and yet it's all right there in print.
It's very, very open if you know where to look for it. But the media in this country doesn't look for it, and the Republican Party doesn't dare to go after it because they're too scared of being called McCarthyites or something. Well, sticks and stones may break my bones, you know.
Right.
Who cares what you call? Who cares if you don't get into the country club next year? This is a country we got to save here.
Yeah.
You know, the left calls us racists and Nazis and white supremacists, and we call them liberals and progressives.
They're communists.
They are communists and socialists and totalitarians. That's what they are. Don't let them call us what they do because it's a lie, but let's call them what they actually are because it's the truth.
And race is one way they're doing it. They've weaponized race.
Absolutely.
And again...
You think about it, you know. In America, the old class thing doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Meaning income.
Yeah, income, you know. Anybody in America can start out with nothing and become a multimillionaire. We all know, and you can start out as a multimillionaire and be worth nothing too, you know. Class is very mobile in America, not like in Europe where it was a very fixed thing. So class worked as an argument in Europe for communism.
But not here.
But, you know, the Southern Baptists at their recent convention in Alabama adopted critical race theory.
Resolution 9
as one of the tools for analyzing issues of race.
And for those who don't know, explain what critical race theory is.
Well, critical race theory came from a guy called James Cohn. Now, he was a Marxist, a member of Democratic Socialists of America.
Liberation theology.
Mixing
Christianity with Marxism.
He wrote a book. It was
Which, by the way, is what is why I called the book Marxianity. It's liberation theology.
It's a blend. And he wrote a book called Marxism and the Black Church. What do they have to offer each other? He went to Cuba in 1982 to meet Fidel Castro and a whole lot of the communist church fronts over there. The man who accompanied him was a man called Jeremiah Wright. You may have heard of
Obama's
him.
Oh, yeah, Obama's old preacher.
Obama's preacher, right? But what critical race theory is this? It's very tied in with white privilege. If you're white, you're automatically racist. Well, how can that be? Well, because They've used Marxism applied to race. See, under classic Marxism, the capitalist minority exploits the worker majority. And to have communism, the workers must overthrow the capitalists. Well, under critical race theory, the white capitalist Christian minority exploits and oppresses the colored races, the oppressed races, the Latinos, the Native Americans. Mm-hmm. So this is intrinsically racist. If you're part of the white Christian overclass, you're automatically racist.
And for those who think he's making this up, in our documentary Sabotage and in Siege, particularly in Siege, we go into this. In Sabotage, we show you the videos at the 15th Annual White Privilege Conference. The 15th Annual White Privilege Conference in Madison, Wisconsin, where the presenters are on video and audio saying, if you're a Christian, you're a racist. If you're a capitalist, you're a racist.
Yeah.
If you're for traditional values, you're a racist.
Absolutely. It's automatic.
They say it in their own words.
Okay. So how do you end racism? You have to overthrow the system.
So overthrow Christianity, make the white capitalist Christian the source of all suffering and oppression. And a lot of this dates right back to the Frankfurt School and cultural Marxism.
Yeah, it comes back from that. But James Cone is who they draw from. This has been taught in Southeastern Baptist Seminary. It's been taught
in North Carolina?
North Carolina.
Danny Aiken,
which is
a Gospel Coalition guy.
Gospel Coalition. The Gospel Coalition is completely on board with this. They got this into, this came from Walter Strickland, who teaches at Southeastern Baptist. He was the one who introduced the resolution.
Resolution 9 at the Southern Baptist Convention, affirming
9.
This.
Yeah, so now
the,
Marxism.
So the Southern Baptist Convention's affirmed cultural Marxism.
Absolutely, 100%. And the Gospel Coalition is completely on board with this. Mark Dever, who's one of their big guys, Mark and all this kind of thing.
Yep, Mark Dever.
Dever? I've pronounced it.
Either way.
Dever. He has promoted several major books on this area, all written by known Marxists.
Like Divided by Faith.
Divided by Faith.
Which is written by a guy one of the writers wrote a book praising liberation theology.
Yeah, and criticizing the opposite, the communist, and praising the communist opposition to Reagan in Latin America.
Yes, and calling Christians all kinds of things in the book Divided by Faith. Mark Devers promoted it. We show the screenshot of that in this documentary. We also show David Platt speaking at a Together for the Gospel event to 12,000 pastors promoting the same book, Divided by Faith. So Mark, look, all of this is in my book, Marxianity. What he's saying, it's in the documentary Sabotage and Siege, okay? Everything he's saying right now, we've documented, we have the screenshots, we have everything. And this is the Gospel Coalition. This is Mark Dever. This is who some of the biggest Bible teachers in America and pastors are promoting. And yet, this is the Trojan horse that I've been warning about. Well, I wrote a book called Religious Trojan Horse. I'm telling you right now, if you got this book right here, and you got this book right here, you would understand how this group here has infiltrated Christianity. You would understand how we've got Marxianity if you got just these two books. This one you can get on Amazon or his website. This one you can get at Marxianity.com. This fall, preparing for the election, if you read this book to find out how the Democrat Party's been taken over, and you read this book on how evangelicalism has been taking over by Marxism, you would know how the Democrat Party's been taken over by Marxism and mainstream evangelicalism is now being taken over by Marxism. Yeah. These two books alone would give you the education you're not getting anywhere else.
Look, and I got to commend you, Brandon, because you're one of the very few who's been calling this out for a long time. And you've done a lot of the pioneering work on this, and you deserve the credit for it.
But I'm
not saying this to butter you up, Brennan. You have been doing this for a long time, and you've been pointing this out, and some people have listened and some haven't.
I got a lot of haters. A lot of the evangelicals hate me.
Well, you will.
You know how many evangelicals hate me? Most of your evangelical leaders can't stand me.
Well, you know.
Because they don't like that I've been pointing out these groups, their organizations, their alliances, and what they're doing.
Because they like to be friendly and collegial. And
a good old boy club and let the money flow.
And let the money flow and just let's be nice to everybody. Well, there are times where you have to call out lies and deceit. You know, we never would have conquered the mafia if we just said, oh, let's just get on with the mafia. Let's just say they do some good things in the community. Let's just be collegial and brother. You know, there are times where you have to call out enemies. And Jesus was quite happy to do that.
Yes, he was.
You know, he didn't go into the temple with the money changers and say, look, let's come to an amicable agreement. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll sort of have a dialogue and find some common ground. No, he went in there and he turned over the tables because it was so offensive to him. Mm-hmm. Well, Christians need to understand that their church is being taken down and corrupted. And if their faith means anything to them at all, anything beyond just a social sort of thing, they need to be aware of this and they need to fight it. Because this should be the central thing in your life. If you believe something and you're not fighting for it, well, you don't really believe it.
So true.
You know, and if you don't really believe it, what do you believe?
As Vance Havner said, we live what we profess, the rest is religious talk. All right, so the book is called White House Reds by Trevor Loudon. It just came out today. Communist, Socialist, and Security Risks Running for U.S. President 2020. His website has been under his name the whole time. You can also go to Amazon and order it. I hope you will. We're going to film many more shows. You're going to be blown away. Look at all the research I've been doing and preparing for this broadcast. So we've got a lot to cover. This is just the first show. I hope you get the URL, disseminate it, distribute it everywhere. Now, before we conclude, the way we bring you this program, fly him in, put him up in a hotel, produce this show, distribute it, the $3,000 a month in bandwidth and storage is where listener supported. The way you can support us is through a tax-deductible contribution at WVWFoundation.com, WVWFoundation.com. For a limited time, I will send you my book, Marxianity, and my documentary, Sabotage, 6 hours. I'll send you these two free of charge if you join our Situation Room, our VIP premium subscription, where we've archived years of radio shows and TV shows and ebooks and audiobooks, over 1,000 TV shows like this at situationroom.net. You join at the 1 year, 2 year, or 3 year rate. I can't do it if you join by the month-to-month rate. But if you join at the 1 year, 2 year, or 3 year rate, I'm going to send you my book, Marxianity and Sabotage, absolutely free. This is a limited time offer. You need to respond now if you're interested. So support us if you would by one of two ways, WVWFoundation.com with a tax-deductible contribution, or join our VIP club that we've had around since 2006. Situationroom.net, situationroom.net. You can also subscribe at our website, wvwtv.com/subscription. You'll find the 1 year, 2 year, and 3 year subscriptions there, wvwtv.com/subscription. And I will send you Marxianity, 6 hours for free, the Sabotage, 6 hours for free, and the book Marxianity. We'll be back with another program, many programs to come, with Trevor Loudon, author of the brand new book, White House Reds. Till next time, I'm Brandon House. Thanks for watching. Take care. We'll be right back.